At Deuteronomy chapter 28. This was one of those sections last week and this week that, as you just read through it and you don't bother really to study it, you might have had the misunderstanding. We looked last week at this particular ceremony that they had or were instructed here to have when they entered into the land where they had the Israelites divided onto the two mountaintops, and then they were to have the blessings and the curses. And so chapter 27 only has the curses written. It didn't have the blessings, as I illustrated last week to you. And if you were just reading through there, you would have read and said, well, here are the curses. And then you drop over into 28, you look and see, here are the blessings. But that's not what was being given there. 27, we looked at, was an alternate statement, one positive and one negative of it. This particular chapter then is directed at the people so that as they reviewed the instructions for the last week, is that now he gives the people, now even before they enter into the land, in Hebrew they entitle this entire chapter the warning. And we have blessings that are here, and we also have curses or warnings that are given to them. And this particular warning chapter is very similar to what you can find in Leviticus chapter 26. That one was given after the first giving of the law. This is the warning that's given to Israel after the second giving of the law, known as Deuteronomy. Okay, so the warning that we see here or is divided into the positive blessings that they can receive and, again, the negative curses for their disobedience if they fail to do that. The first 14 verses are the blessings. And then verses 15 through 68 are the curses or for their disobedience. As we take a look at it here, in verse 1 it begins, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God." First of all, when we look at verse 1, he says in the very first words, "And it shall," what? "Come to pass." What he's saying here will happen. Okay? Whether it's the positive that he lists in the first 15 verses or the negative, the promise is being made to Israel at this second giving of the law. And in this first section, he says, if you will diligently what? Hearken. Okay, hear the voice, and you don't just want to hear the voice, you want to observe And you do. The mighty triplet there. Hear it, observe it, and make sure that you do it. And what's the promise that's given to them there in verse 1? If you listen to this and you observe them and you do them, you'll get set on high above all nations of the earth. Okay, so they had this first particular promise to them for obedience. Obedience receives a reward. That's a lesson for us yet today. If you're obedient, you will receive the reward. Okay, I believe there's some verse that says something about you also get something for evil too, or recompense for their evil is given. So the Lord is making this promise to them that if they obey these things, if they do this, that they will be set high above all nations of the earth. And then it says, all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Moses, in the presentation here, personifies the blessing. And if the person obeys the voice of the Lord, the blessing will walk up next to him. That's what those words, come on thee, mean. The blessing will literally walk up on him and stand next to him. And then he goes on to say, and stand there and enable him. That's what the term overtake him, overtake thee means. When you look at the root meanings of the words, we begin to see the blessing that the Christian also has in the indwelling Spirit, Holy Spirit, in our lives. If we hearken to the voice of the Lord, we will not grieve the Holy Spirit. And His enabling will cause us to succeed in our walk with and for the Lord. So in this very presentation of what the blessing that will come upon the nation of Israel for obedience, we can also see an illustration of exactly what happens in our case when the Holy Spirit comes along, our paraclete, the one that comes along, stands beside us, lifts us, holds us, walks with us, guides us. But He'll only do that when? When we obey. Okay? If not, then we're looking at a negative side of what He's going to do for us. Verse 3 says, blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. So as the Israelite would look at this, he would see that if he's in the city, and as they went further on down in time, the city in particular was the city of Jerusalem with the temple in it. So even in this location where we have all the people gathered, we're also looking at a walled city idea where there was protection. He says, well, you'll be blessed here, whether you're in a walled place. And he says, you'll be blessed if you're out in the field. The idea, I believe, that we can see from it is that a blessing cannot be isolated to a particular place for the believer. You can be blessed in the city with all its hustle and bustle and many people around. You can also be blessed in the quiet of the open field. For wherever you are, your God is with you. We stand in His presence day by day. Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked," there's the negative, "but He hears the prayer of the righteous," there's the obedient one. In verse 4, "Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body." The promise given to them is that if they obey, they will have many children. And the fruit of thy ground, when they plant something, it'll grow in their grain. And the fruit of thy cattle. This particular word cattle here has the idea of work animals in terms of camels, pack animals type things. So their herds of pack animals would increase. And the increase of thy kine, that means their milk cows, and their flocks of sheep. These all would be fruitful. They would increase as the Lord provided. We serve a God of creation who said, "Let the earth bring forth," and it did. This is the blessing of God's provision. Children will follow to carry on the line of faith. Food will be available as we go. In Philippians 4:19, we have the promise, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. The basket, as we saw in a previous lesson, was used for the first fruits. They were to gather that first fruit. They were to put it in a basket. That basket was then brought and given as an offering. We also, as we looked at the area of tithing, their store or their storehouse would be blessed. Now, God's provision goes far beyond just today, but into the future and into others. The basket, as we saw, was the tool to bring those grain offerings. The store was not only the place that allowed the individual to live in the off season, but it was also there to supply the needs of others. So the blessing here was, you will have your provision. It will carry over. You can trust me through the Sabbath when you don't plant. And there will be plenty not only for you, but there will also be plenty for you to help others. Blessed shall thou be when thou come in, and blessed shall thou be when thou go out. So no matter whether they were going in into a house for security sake, where you had walls for protection from the elements, or whether you were walking out into some place, this is God's protection that's given to us. All our actions will be blessed when done in the will of God, whether they are in public or whether they are done in private, whether you're in or whether you're out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The promise was for Israel that any time an enemy would come against them, that they would be able to stand before them and that they would be smitten before them. And then it also goes on to say they might come in a great mass on you, hundreds of thousands descending upon you, but in the end they're going to flee in all different directions from you. The blessing is not that we will have no enemies. Did you notice that? The blessing is not that we will have no enemies that rise up against us, but that when the enemy does rise up, we may have the confidence that victory will be ours. For us in particular, our warfare is not physical, as the picture is given here for the nation of Israel. But ours is a warfare that is spiritual. What are the promises? What's the blessing that's promised to us for obedience? God has provided us a way of escape from all temptations when they come. He has provided the armor for us so that we can stand all the attacks of the devil upon us. In verse 8, the Lord shall command a blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou hast set thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God gives thee. The statement here is that this particular blessing for Israel was localized to the promised land. But what about the church? The church has the entire world as its blessing. Jesus Christ is the King of the earth, and He has sent us, His servants, not only to the promised land, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, but where? Into the uttermost parts of the earth. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto Himself, as He has sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in His ways. As the Lord called Israel out and set them apart for Himself and gave them great promises, so also has the church been called out and set apart for the Son of God as His body, and have been given to us great and exceeding promises, even greater than what Israel was given. 2 Peter 1, 2 through 4 says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According to His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We have even greater promises given to us than a promised land. Deuteronomy 28:10, and all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. When people can see that we are called by the name of the Lord, pay attention to what that just said. Okay? What's your name? Christian. Christ-like. We are His people, and we bear His name. We no longer have our own name. We have His name. And we have his name because we live by his holy law. They, the people outside, will have a fear of you because we reflect the holiness before which they will be judged in the future. That's why they're afraid of us. Okay? And they'll only be afraid of us if we reflect the person whose name we actually have. Luke 6:22, Jesus says, "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you, and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." John 7:7, "The world cannot hate you, but me it hated, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil." John 15:18, "If the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." And 1 John 3:13, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." In verse 11, "And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto thy fathers to give thee." Again, the promise that was earlier stated concerning the increase that they would have. "The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thy hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow." God promised them in this case that the rains would come when the rains were needed, and that would increase their crops. They would have plenty, so that they would never have to borrow from somebody outside. And yet they would have plenty in order that they would be able to lend to those other nations. Okay? Sort of, you can sort of get the reverse. Jacob, toward the end of his life, the land that he was living in at the time, there was a great famine. What did he do during the famine? He called his sons together and said, "Go down into Egypt and buy grain to bring back for us." And so they went, not once, but twice, until Joseph revealed himself and said, "Come on down here." And God said, "Go down there and stay until this is all past, until I make you ready to come back into this land when it's flowing with milk and honey." So this was sort of the reverse of what they went through in Egypt. Now they would be the ones that had storehouses that were full, so that they could provide for other people that were around them. How about your storehouse? Is it full? And when I say your storehouse, what am I talking about? Because remember, our warfare is not flesh and blood. You know, it's good that, you know, we have a little bit stored away in the fruit cellar or the pantry, and that we can reach in there and pull it out and share it with somebody that needs it. Okay? But the storehouse that we have is of the knowledge of our God. How's your storehouse? Is it full? Can you lend it to the neighbor so that they can have what you have also? Another I laid down for a little nap this afternoon to be rested enough to be able to speak tonight. I got to thinking, God did not promise them that they would be rich. I think we often read these things about the people in the Old Testament, and we look at Abraham, we call him a rich man. But I was laying there thinking, I said, well, wait a minute. Yeah, Abraham had a whole bunch of stuff. He had a whole bunch of cattle and sheep and so on like that. But he also had a whole bunch of other people that he was taking care of. I mean, when he raised an army, who did he raise his army from? From the people that worked for him. Okay? Then you start counting their families and their hanger-oners that are part of their family. He needed a whole big bunch of stuff in order to take care of the people that God had given him. And so we look at these sometimes and we think, oh, rich, yeah. And I think, well, the name it and claim it people often do that too. And they say, well, but what has God promised? My God shall all your what? Needs. Abraham's needs were great. God gave him great things so that he could use them. And after all, he says, I know Abraham. Okay? He knew him. That he would care for the things that were needed. And he did. And then in verse 13, and the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. So his promise here was that they would be the front end. And I suppose this is why they only eat the front end of the cow and not the back end. Kosher foods there. But the idea being that they would always be in the lead of things and not just following around after somebody else. Again, how does that apply to us as the church? Okay? We need to be taking the lead in righteous acts. Not paddling around, following the directions of unbelievers as we go. And the promise again was, if you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. He repeats what we started off with. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. So again, the idea being, as soon as we don't do something that God has told us, we are no longer following Him. We're following some other god in our pathway. And that's the last thing on earth that we ever want to be doing, is not following the Lord God. I thank you. I'll dismiss you to your prayer now.